Today, we are considering the concept of going back in order to go forward. Because we live in a fallen, broken world, we have stories of pain and harm. God brought redemption into this world through Jesus. And as we are open to receiving Jesus into every part of our lives, he can bring redemption to these stories. So this morning, we're going to look at the story of Joseph, noting the harm that he endured, and then the ending result. Joseph was the son of Jacob and Rachel. He had 12 brothers, can't imagine, and one sister. His only sister had been raped, and before he was 10 years old, his mother died. As you look at Joseph's lineage, his great-grandparents were Abraham and Sarah. In their relationship were lies, there was sibling rivalry between the kids, and favoritism. And then when you get to Isaac and Rebecca, you see the same things. And then same with Jacob, Joseph's father. Jacob was married to two sisters at the same time and kept two mistresses. There were 13 children through these four women, all who lived within the same household with him. That's quite the blended family. Joseph is the 11th son and was favored by his father. The favoritism was openly expressed, and Jacob giving Joseph a special robe. Well, the brothers naturally were envious and jealous. And to top it all off, Joseph had dreams where he saw everybody bowing down to him, and he foolishly tells his brothers about these dreams. And we read about his life through Genesis 37 to 50. As you read the account, which is a good word, Ted, you can observe many traumatic events in Joseph's life. So the one that I want to highlight today is when, at 17 years of age, his brothers throw him into a well and then sell him into slavery. Joseph was asked by his father to go and check on his brothers as they were away herding sheep. And because of their hatred towards Joseph, they took the opportunity to harm him. And they throw him into a well, which was a deep hole without any water at that time. So here he is in this deep, dark hole, yelling for help. Well, I want to show you two video clips this morning from the movie Joseph. And the first one is of this scene where Joseph is in the well and then sold into slavery. Family dynamics changed, and families were no longer what they were designed to be. They were distorted and broken. And we see that in the first family with Cain and Abel. There was jealousy that escalated into murder. And we see it down through Joseph's lineage. As we look at families today, we see many destructive behaviors. Things like lying, abuse, criticism, secrecy, and so on. Even in the best of families, there is sin and brokenness. And because of this, none of us emerges from our families unscathed, resulting in destructive patterns and ungodly assumptions and attitudes that can be embedded into our lives. It's these parts of us that we need touched by the power and the mercy of God. And to do so, they need to be brought into the light, acknowledging them and then offering them to Christ for his healing and redemption. As we began this series, we considered the image of an iceberg as just being an analogy for our lives. That 10% of the iceberg that's showing above the surface is just what most people are aware of in their lives. But there is a lot that is beneath the surface. When we come to Christ, the Bible says that we are born into a new family. But we bring some of our unprocessed things that come from our families of origin. And we can carry these with us, just continuing to function in an unhealthy way. Ways that are actually pulling us back, holding us in bondage, and hurting one another. How we carry out our relationships, how we feel about ourselves, and how we view the world are deeply impacted and shaped by our past. Sometimes we don't really realize the negative effects and how they are played out on our relationships. And when we don't know what's there, it's kind of like the Titanic. The ship is going to hit it, and it's going to go down. As we follow Christ, we need to face what went on in our past, acknowledging those things that are below the surface. In being transformed to become our authentic self in Christ, to live in joy and freedom, we have to go back to go forward. For emotionally healthy spirituality, we need to recognize the iceberg, acknowledging those sinful patterns, those wounds, and the attitudes, looking at the assumptions and the rules that may have been embedded in our families, things like we have to avoid conflict at all cost, or maybe the reverse, that you just argue over everything. We're seeing sadness as a sign of weakness. Maybe you have to keep family secrets. Or viewing other cultures and races as not as good as yours. When we are willing to face these assumptions and these rules and recognize the hurts that we've endured, we can then bring them to God, replacing them with God's perspective and break the hold that they can have on us. You've probably seen the movie Forrest Gump. And there is a scene where Forrest is walking with his lifelong friend, Jenny. And they come to the home where she has grown up, a home where she was sexually abused by her father. And now, years later, seeing that house, it just brings back all these painful memories. And also a realization of all that has transpired in her life as a result. The hurt and the wounds had never healed. And she throws rocks at the house. And then she collapses on the ground. And Forrest says, "Sometimes there just aren't enough rocks." We can hurl rocks, maybe not literal rocks, but actions are words that are used to strike back. A sarcastic comment, excessive behavior, you know, all trying to numb the pain of the past. But throwing rocks does not heal the pain. Sooner or later, we'll run out of them, and we'll find that we really have just hurt ourselves and others in the process. Hurts from our past need to be acknowledged. We need to face these difficult things, asking, okay, what are my unresolved issues? What transpired in my past that is maybe affecting me today? In Forrest Gump, Jenny tried to run from her past through drugs and promiscuity. If we keep pushing the past away, whether subconsciously or unconsciously, we live out of pain, and we miss the opportunity to grow and to experience freedom. As we honestly confess these things, being vulnerable and open and sharing our stories, bringing them to God, healing can occur. You know, often people, however, are just not willing to do this. They think, well, why should I look at the past? I can't do anything about it. Acknowledging and telling stories, that's not going to change what happened. But what can be changed and be transformed is the meaning. It is in going back and facing the truth that it can release the power that it holds over us, and we can experience healing and joy. Another excuse that's often given for not telling our stories of the past is, well, you know, I don't want to dishonor my family. My parents, they did the best that they could. But truth telling is not dishonoring. Scripture demonstrates this to us so well. Just look at all the stories or accounts in the Bible that are told of what people did. Abraham lied about his wife. Jacob tricked his brother. David committed adultery. There are so many stories of deception, of anger, jealousy, rivalry. The truth about what people did is told. But they are not maligned. They're not dishonored. The truth of their actions is recorded, and they are deeply valued by God. Denial and secrets keep us in bondage. The truth sets us free. Have you ever, you know, gotten a pebble in your shoe? I got one in my shoe recently, and I was headed to the dock to go catch the boat, and I was carrying things, and the ground was muddy, and the boat doesn't wait. So I didn't stop to take this pebble out. It was really painful. It hurt. But the rock then shifted a bit, and I got used to it, so I actually didn't shake it out until quite a bit later. We can get used to the pebbles in our lives and can walk around, you know, limping, favoring the other side. And if we don't deal with the rock, it's like we're off balance, and the rubbing can cause bruising and damage. Allender and Lorzel, in the book Redeeming Heartache, comment, "We are often taught to ignore or minimize our suffering. However, turning a blind eye to suffering exacts a price. We can either deal with it or wait until it affects our health, marriages, friendship, work, and relationships with God. I've come to believe it is through the engagement of sorrow that God is known and our purpose on earth is best understood." What are the stories? The pebbles in your life that have caused pain. It's not easy to step out and to look at these things in our past. Opening up and sharing our stories can be very painful. But when we are courageous and we risk telling our stories, the pain and the shame dissipate, and healing and freedom results. As you look at these stories, it is so important to find safe people. You know, a good friend, a small group, a good therapist or a coach, someone that you can trust, with whom you can be honest and share those deep things in your heart. As we bring these hurts into the open, we have to take the next step of forgiveness. And to demonstrate this, I want to show you another video clip. So following the one that we watched, where Joseph was taken as a slave, he was then sold in Egypt to Potiphar, who was a high Egyptian official. Joseph applied himself to serving, and he became so successful that he advanced to oversee all of Potiphar's affairs. Well, this goes very well for a while, but Potiphar's wife found Joseph attractive and tried many times to seduce him. Joseph resisted, but one day as he was fleeing, she grabbed his cloak and ended up tearing it from him. And she lied about what happened, saying, oh, he tried to seduce her. And he was put in prison for 13 years. Unjustly accused, stripped of his position, and thrown into prison, Joseph might have lost heart and been bitter and angry, but he approached the situation with perseverance. And while he's in prison, he interprets two dreams for two court officials. 2 years later, when Pharaoh has puzzling dreams, Joseph is remembered, and then he's brought to the palace. And he interprets the dreams correctly, and as a result, he is elevated by the Pharaoh. And he's put in charge of the administration of all the food in Egypt. When famine breaks out, Joseph's family is also impacted. And so they come to Egypt for food, and they end up appearing before Joseph. But since Joseph has been in Egypt for 22 years, he's got an Egyptian name, he's wearing Egyptian clothing, he is unrecognizable to them. When his brothers show up, Joseph could have taken the opportunity to seek vengeance. He could have disregarded them. He could have sent them away. He could have even had them killed. But rather than him being eaten up with bitterness against his brothers and returning hatred for hatred, Joseph looks beyond them trusting, and seeing God's hand on his life, and he offers them forgiveness. Here's the second clip. Face the truth of what has happened without needing to have all that hatred toward people. It allows us to cry, to acknowledge the pain. One person stated, "Forgiving others doesn't change the past. It changes your future." Joseph said to his brothers in Genesis 50, verse 20, "Don't be afraid. Do I act for God? Don't you see? You planned evil against me, but God used these same plans for my good, as you see all around you right now. Life for many people." Joseph doesn't deny or explain away the wrongdoing. He simply states the reality of the brokenness, but that God was there and can work through those things and bring good. Joseph trusted God to work in the midst of all the struggles that came his way. God did not approve of what Joseph's brothers did, and God didn't need their betrayal to get his plans done. But God used what happened and brought about good. A verse to keep in mind is Romans 8:28. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his plan for them. God doesn't cause the pain, but his grace, he can take it. And he can bring something good out of it. He works it together for good. The overarching message that needs to inform all of this is that God's hand is on our lives. And in his love and compassion, as we seek to follow him, those difficult things that have happened to us, things that are part of this fallen world, can be healed as we look back and we offer them to God. He wants to break the chains that bind us. And when we don't deny or gloss over the pain of the past, and we bring it into the light and allow Christ to redeem it, forgiving those who have harmed us, he can work something good to come of it. So may we have the courage to go back so that we can go forward. Will you pray with me? Well, Lord, we acknowledge this is hard, and some of us carry with us a lot of pain. Pain from the past, and sometimes there are habits and ways of doing life that have been informed by our family of origin rather than from you. Lord, help us to take the time to honestly look at these things and be willing to bring them into your healing light. And part of this journey will mean forgiving, which doesn't mean forgetting, but rather it's releasing the desire to hurl rocks at those who have hurt us, to harm them in some way. Help us to go back so we can move forward living in freedom. And as we end this morning, I just want to help you with a little prayer that maybe you can think about after this and pray this maybe many times. Lord, I forgive, and whoever the person is that comes to mind, for, and then name everything that person did to hurt you. And then, which made me feel, and pour out all those things to God of how you felt. And as these emotions build, just let them out. So Lord, help us to take these steps. It's hard, but that we would come forth in forgiveness and let go of these things. Thank you that you want to set us free. May we take those steps. In Jesus' name, amen.